I remember when I was in Keren Biavne, we used to have a Shabbaton together with the Gush guys and the Shalavim guys. And I remember we were in, I don't remember which yeshiva it was that we had the Shabbaton in, but they had yogurts at Shalashuddis that you had to open up by peeling off the top of the yogurt. And I remember that the posek in yeshiva Keren Biavne, Rav Rubinstein, held that it was mutter to open those yogurts on Shabbos, but Rav Aaron Lichtenstein held that it was usser to open those yogurts on Shabbos. So all the Gush guys couldn't eat, and the Keren Biavne guys were eating. So they came up with the following etzah. They decided that they would ask us, the Keren Biavne guys, to be their Shabbos guy. So they have us do the malacha for them, open up the yogurts for them. So the shayla is, and this obviously is not just a yogurt shayla, this is a shayla comes up in some very complicated and important cases. If I hold something as aser, and you hold that it's mutter, not that you're wrong, you follow a reliable posek that holds that it's mutter, but I'm convinced that your posek is wrong, and I'm right that it's aser, can I ask you to do it for me? I don't hold of the Erev, not as a chumrah. I don't hold it because I think it's possible. And you hold of the Eruv. Can I have you carry for me on Shabbos? Or let's take even a more extreme kind of example. Let's say I hold that's a patient whose brainstem death has no blood flow to the brainstem, is considered to be to be alive. And you hold that that patient is considered to be dead. Can I ask you to unplug the patient? According to me, that's an act of murder. According to you, it's nothing. You're just burying a dead body. You're getting a dead body ready for burial. So am I allowed to do that? If I hold something's asr and you hold something's mutter, am I allowed to do this? So I first saw a discussion of this. I've been asked this question a lot of times, particularly about the Erev situation in different communities. I first saw a discussion of this in Tshuvas Minchas Asher, Simen Yud Aleph, and then I saw to my mind, a more complete discussion of it from Rabbi Gil's student, in an essay that Rabbi Gil's student wrote. And Rabbi student breaks it down into the following four basic categories. He says, let's take non-Hilchos Shabbos related issues first. Let's assume outside of Hilchos Shabbos, am I allowed to ask you to do something that I hold as usher, you hold as mutter? So one svara to say that it should be no good is lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. I'm causing you to do what I believe is an avera, shteit and pasuk. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. I'm not allowed to give you bad advice, but I'm also not allowed to cause you to do an iser. So is this included in lifnei iver lo sitein michshol? Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher and Sefer Vayikra has two essays in a row about lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, where he goes through like nine nafkaminas in the chakira about lifnei iver lo sitein. The chakira of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol is, how do you understand Lifnei Iver? Is it an Isser Klali or is it an Isser Prati? Meaning, when I cause you to eat chazer, did I violate Lifnei Iver, just the general Isser called Lifnei Iver? Or is it that Lifnei Iver says that it's ki'ilu, I participated in your achilas chazer? So maybe this would be an afkamina. If you hold that Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol is that I participated in your action, and I hold that that action is usher, so then maybe it would be usher for me to ask you to do it, because then it's as if I carried in the Eruv. I participated in your carrying in the Eruv. But if you hold Lifnei Iver as an Isser Klali, it's just a separate Isser called Lifnei Iver. So when I ask you to carry in the Eruv, only if you did an Avera did I violate Lifnei Iver. But if you never actually did an Avera, because you followed a reliable posek and you did what for you is mutter, then maybe I didn't violate Lifnei Iver. So maybe totally on these on this diyun in Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. This shaila came up in poskim in a situation in discussion about smoking on Yantiv. It used to be that there were poskim that held that you were allowed to smoke on Yantiv because they were under the impression that smoking is shavah l'kol nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to smoke on Yantiv. There's still poskim today that hold that way, but they're wrong. So, but the poskim that used to hold that way, they had a leg to stand on. They held that it was shavah l'kol nefesh before they knew how dangerous it was. So the Sharon Melech paskins that if someone holds that smoking is asur on Yantiv, can he give a cigarette to somebody who holds that it's mutter to smoke on Yantiv? Sharmel says that he may not do so. You're not allowed to give a cigarette to someone who holds that it's mutter because Lifnei Iver is me participating in your action. So if when I cause you to smoke on Yantiv, I aid you in smoking on Yantiv, it's ki'ilu, I'm smoking on Yantiv. Nevertheless, the majority of poskim seem to hold not that way. The Mabit discusses the Mabit and his Tshuvas Mabit, Chelek Aleph, Simon Chaf Aleph, in the context of a discussion of Shemitah, that if I hold that that produce that was harvested and cultivated by a guy during Shemitah year does have Kedusha Shavias, am I allowed to sell it to you or give it to you, not sell it, but give it to you during Shemitah year if you hold that it doesn't have Kedusha Shavias? If you hold it doesn't have Kedusha Shavias, you're not going to treat it properly with the proper Kedusha. When you have a bottle of wine, let's say, that says Kedusha Shavias, that says that it's Shemitah wine, you have to treat that bottle of wine differently than you would any other. You're not allowed to put out your Avdala candle with the wine, you're not allowed to spill any of it out. You're not allowed to pour any of it down the drain. You're not allowed to cook with it. You're only allowed to, you have to drink every drop, and it has to be drunk in the normal way. You're not allowed to do anything else with it. Can I trust you to do that if I hold something as Kedusha Shvius and you don't hold that as Kedusha Shvius? Can I give it to you? So the Mabit brings rayas that yes, I'm allowed to give it to you as long as you're relying on a reliable shita. His rayas from the Sugya and Yevamos Daf Yudalid, when it says that the Beishame and the Beisilel would use each other's kelim even though they had machlokasim about whether a certain kelim were tameh or were tahar. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, how do they use each other's kelim? If I hold the kli as tameh, how can I borrow a kli from you that you think is tar, but I hold as tameh? So the Gemara says, no, they would inform each other. They would tell each other. When the Beis Hillel would lend the kli to the Beis Shammai, they'd say, Beis Shammai, by the way, you don't want this one, because this one you think is tameh. I'm okay with it, but you think it's tameh. This isn't for you. Right? It's like, if you don't hold of, you're not makvid on chalav ha-companies, but you have a guest at your house that is, so you'd inform him, don't have that. That's not for you, because it's chol of HaKompanies. It's not chol of Yisrael. You shouldn't have it. So the Mabit points out, why didn't the Gemara say that Beis Hillel would stop Beis Shammai from using any kli that Beis Hillel held his tameh? Shouldn't that be their responsibility to stop them? If Beis Shammai held his tameh, Beis Hillel held his tameh, shouldn't they have to stop them from using it? No, they didn't hold that they have to stop them. Why? Because you don't have to stop someone from doing what he holds is mutter, and what you hold is aser. Rav Shlomo Zalman paskin this way, Halach Lamaisa. Rav Shachter told me an unbelievable story about how an OBGYN once had a patient who wanted to get an abortion, and it was a trying circumstance, but it wasn't pikuach nefesh to the mother. It was a trying circumstance, and she asked her doctor, can you ask your Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman? So the doctor called up Rav Shlomo Zalman and said, can this woman get an abortion? Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's ritzicha, absolutely not, it's murder. So the doctor said, think about it for 24 hours. Let me just call you back in 24 hours. I want you to think about it for 24 hours. Shlomo Zalman said, it's murder today, it's going to be murder tomorrow. I don't know what you want me to think about. Okay, just think about it for 24 hours. So Shlomo Zalman calls him back a few hours later. And he says, this woman, does she know me? Does she have any shaykhus to me? Does she ever ask me, is her husband a Talmud of mine? No, nothing. She just wanted to ask a big rabbi, she told me to ask you. Says Shlomo Zalman, there's a great rabbi in Yerushalayim. Tell the woman there's a great rabbi, Rabbi Waldenberg. And this is his phone number. Tell her to call him and ask the shayla to him. Rav Waldenberg held that in certain types of situations, abortion was mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman held it was murder. But he said, she doesn't have to ask me the shayla. How could he give the number? He's it's Livnei there. Your mom is giving over to murder. Elamai, you're relying on a reliable shita. You're relying on a day on poskim, and you hold that it's mutter. You don't have to hold. I'm allowed to have you do that. You don't have to go like me. You don't have to be mekabel my das. So I want to tell you to do so. So maybe lifnei iver is not going to be a problem. But we have an additional issue, and this doesn't relate to that story of the Rav Shlomo Zalman. That is shlichus. What about when you make the person a shaliach? Isn't there a problem that if I ask you to do something for me, you become my shliach, and then it's kilu, I do the avera? So you can say, of course that's not a problem. We all know the klal, ein shliach l'dvar avera. You do an avera for me, it doesn't relate back to me. Why is it ein shliach l'dvar avera? Divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomim. Because we could assume that the person who I'm asking, I say, go eat that chazer tray for me. So the person's I'm not in violation of the Avera, because the person is a moron. Why would, he knows that I told him to eat chazer tray, and God told him not to eat chazer tray. Why would he listen to me over God? That's a very foolish thing to do. Yeah, that's if he believes that God told him not to eat it. But what if I tell him to open up the yogurt, and he believes that God says that he's allowed to open up the yogurt because that's what his posek told him. So you're still going to have a svara, divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomim? Maybe not. Maybe in that case, you should have shlichus l'dvar avera. As it turns out, this is probably a machlokas in Maseches Bamitzia Dav Yud Amud Beis, where it discusses the ability of a field to make kinyani geneva. The chatzera shel adam is kona midin shliach. I ain't shliach the dvar avera. How can a field be kona kinyani geneva? Be kona geneva, a stolen item for you, if there's ain't shliach the dvar avera? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. Ravina says that any shliach that himself is not chayiv in the iser can become a shliach l'dvar avera. The field has no chayiv, it's a field, so it can become a shliach l'dvar avera. However, Rav Sama says that any shliach that cannot refuse the request, can't turn it down, can become a shliach l'dvar avera. And that's why the field is there, because the field can't say no. So according to Ravina, if the other guy has no iser, then he can become your shliach. But the other guy does have the ability to turn you down, so then you would still say ein shliach l'dvar avera. So whether you'd say yesh shliach l'dvar avera or ein shliach l'dvar avera in this case, maybe totally in that machlokas amarayim. It happens to be that the Ramah in Yerideh Simen Kuf Samach paskins like Ravina, but many other achronim, the Shach, Mishal Melech, Machne Ephraim, all paskin like Rav Sama. So it seems that at least on a weekday, there's makom lahakel to say that if I hold something zasser, I could ask you to do it. But what about on Shabbos? So on Shabbos, we have a couple of other issues. On Shabbos, we have two other issues. Number one, daber davar. I'm not allowed to speak about malachos on Shabbos, and that may be a din in me. That if I'm asking you to do something that for me is a malacha, it may be a problem. So this is a discussion. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva based on yesterday's daf yomi. The Gemara says in yesterday's daf that if you have a Shabbos kuf nun aleph, that if I have peros that are outside of my tchum Shabbos but they're within your tchum Shabbos, I'm allowed to ask you to watch those peros for me because for you it's within your tchum Shabbos. But for me it's not shy. I wouldn't be allowed to do it. Says the Rashba based on that. If I was Mekabel Shabbos early and you were not Mekabel Shabbos, I'm allowed to ask you to do a malacha for me. And it's not a problem with Dabar Dabar to ask you to do malacha. Why? Because for you it's not a malacha at all. Maybe according to that we could say the same thing over here. That if for you it's 100% mutter and for me it's asr, so maybe it wouldn't be a problem of Dabar Dabar. But we have another issue. And the other issue is that you're not allowed, anything that you're not allowed to do, forget about Dabar Dabar speaking about the malacha, anything I'm not allowed to do, I'm not allowed to make a shliach, I'm not allowed to ask a goy to do for me on Shabbos, right? So I'm not allowed to have a Shabbos guy. So if that's true of a guy, that anything I'm not allowed to do, I'm not allowed to ask a guy to do for me on Shabbos, l'chora, it should be true of a Jew as well, that anything I'm not allowed to do, I shouldn't be allowed to ask a Jew to do for me on Shabbos. But again, we said that we're makel with this issue of if I was mekabel Shabbos early, so I'm not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, yet I am allowed to ask another Jew to do for me. But then there's a separate issue in Shabbos called Maisa Shabbos, that you're not allowed to benefit from malacha that was done for you on Shabbos. So is this tully in the person that gets the benefit, whether he defines it as a malacha, or is it tully in the person who does the malacha? So that Rav Usher thinks is tully. Rav Usher in the Tshuva, he starts discussing the Shabbos issues. He thinks that it's tully in the Machlokas, Magen Avram, and the Taz and Simon Reish Samach Gimel. We're running out of time already, but it turns out that according to the Magen Avram there would be no Isser. According to the Taz, it l'chora would be an Isser. So at the end of the day, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it seems that there's more room to be machmir than when it comes to other areas of halacha. Now Rav Usher has a very interesting conclusion. His conclusion is it really depends on the kind of machlokes. If it's a machlokes about like bishalach or bishal b'dover lach when it's lo nitzdan in legamri, where the svardim are machmir, Ashkenazim are mekel, and it's centuries old. This issue is centuries old, and everyone is firmly planted in their camps of what's mutter, what's aser, then you're allowed to do it. Then you're allowed to ask somebody who holds its mutter to do it for you. But if it's something that's still being debated in the Batei Medrash, even though there are shitos l'tzad and shitos l'kan and shitos l'kan, still he says, then you shouldn't do it. Then you shouldn't ask somebody to violate the iser for you. Very interesting chiluk. Rabbi Student quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Ariel. He says that he's masking to the sheet of Tzitz Eliezer. Says that you're not allowed to ask someone to do something for you that you hold as aser, but if he does it on his own, you are allowed to benefit from it. Meaning you can't ask him to open the yogurt for you, to open the bottle for you, to carry in the area for you, but if he did, it would not be a violation of Maisa Shabbos. So again, there are two other reasons why one might be machmir. Though one might be machmir because you think that you're correct in la'alach and the other guy is incorrect. That's what we've been talking about until now. What if you think the other guy is really correct la'alacha? You're just being machmir as a chumrah. Stop accepting it as a chumrah. Well, if that's the case, then it seems a davar pasha that you're allowed to ask him to do it for you. If you really hold, the disayrif. You think it's a kosher erif. You stam have a chumra that you don't carry in any erif. So can you have your wife carry in the erif? Yeah, so she can carry something for you if she doesn't accept that chumra upon herself. Right? You can have someone else carry. That's a different story. That for sure it would seem you're allowed to ask somebody to do for you. Okay, that's a very, very abbreviated version of this topic.